Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to Isaiah chapter 60. Amen. We'll start right there, Isaiah 60. We're in a series which we're bringing to a close this morning. Isaiah 60. We've been talking about surviving the end times. Because the Bible, you know, it gives us a clue that some aren't going to survive. But that's not us, amen? The Bible talks about that some shall depart from the faith. And the Bible talks about a falling away. And so we just went through different things that the Lord led me to talk about things that... you know, would cause us or put us in a position where we might, you know, get swept away in these last days. You know, we talked about, if I can remember all of them, we talked about how peace would be a rare commodity, but how we could have peace in troubled times. Amen. And we talked about offense, how in the last days many would be offended. Jesus said this, that would take many out. I've never seen so many people offended over so many things. It's like today, you can't say anything without somebody getting offended. Yeah. Amen. I saw, you know, this, I don't know which one it was, but it was an exercise place. You know, one of the companies that, you know, I guess one of the national companies that have these chains where you go in and exercise, you know. What am I trying to say? Fitness centers. And they had some kind of advertising, can you pinch an inch? And people got offended. Well, if you have an inch to pinch, you have an inch to pinch. I mean, you know, I've probably got at least an inch there. So, you know, now here's the way I think about it. If you're happy with it, I'm happy with it. Don't worry about it. Don't let the world tell you how much you should weigh. Let the Holy Ghost tell you. Right? But and I thought, are you kidding me? Are we seriously adults in this nation any longer? No. That's called body shaming? You know, your intelligence quota is not very high up the meter. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm IQ shaming. Sorry. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, get over yourself. You're not that important. We love you, but you know what I'm saying. You know, the world's going to go on whenever you go to heaven. So anyway, we talked about not being offended. Then we talked about don't burn your world down and how, you know, the tongue, using the tongue and how it's, you know, there's such viciousness being released in our nation with things that people say. Whether they say it with their tongue or they type it with their keyboard, you're still saying it. And such viciousness and attacks, and that we as Christians, if we enter in the last days into this, that could be an avenue the devil could take us out. Then we talked about how there was a flood of filth and how that could take us out. Dear Lord Jesus, what did we talk about last week? It was good. Hallelujah. Last week, what did we talk about last week? Anybody? Pardon? False doctrines. Thank you. We talked about false doctrines and how Paul said that in the last days there would be false doctrines arise and that people would be deceived. So how to, you know, talk about avoiding false doctrines. So this morning, I want to end this series by talking about the gathering clouds. Amen. I want us to go to Isaiah chapter 60. All right, are we ready? Yes. All right, Isaiah 60, because we're going to end on a really positive note this morning. Isaiah, not all of it's good, you know, all of it was good, all of it was needful, but you know, some things kind of, you know, a little bit more exciting to us. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross, or deep darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles or the nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." So Isaiah is prophesying about a time when there would be gross darkness, deep darkness, thick darkness on the earth. But then he said, but the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. Amen. So we see, on one side, darkness coming in, which I think we can already say it's arrived, hasn't it? Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know that we haven't seen the depths of it yet, but it's here for sure. But then the other side is the glory. Now, you know, I've told you, I think in my last Sunday I was going to talk to you a little bit about this thing, and I'll start here with this. About several years ago, Dr. Mark T. Barclay, who's my pastor, I'm a part of his Righteous Preachers Network, and so he's kind of a father in the faith to me, an overseer. And he said that years ago he was in a meeting, and there were several preachers in there, and they were on the front row. The preachers were, and Brother Hagin, it was a Brother Hagin's meeting. And Brother Hagin, the Spirit of God came on him, and the spirit of prayer fell, and they just began to pray. And he said, you know, when he was praying, he saw in the spirit, he saw this dark, ugly-looking cloud come in, like it was coming to the earth, you know. And he said, in it was every kind of... I'm paraphrasing this. This isn't word for word, but in it was every kind of damnable, destructive thing you could think of. It was a demonic thing, and it just, you know, like grieved him. Like, Lord, what is this? And the Lord showed him that's the darkness that's coming in the last days. But he said, then he looked over here and he saw this bright cloud coming in, and it was full of all kinds of good things from God. It was full of the goodness of God. And the Lord said, that's my cloud coming in. And that was the end of what he saw. Well, he said after the service, he said, us ministers were in the back room and we were just talking. And, you know, and he said, I wanted to tell Brother Hagin what I saw, but at the same time, I didn't want to go up to the prophet and say, hey, I saw something. You'd have to understand, if you're a minister and you've been around other ministers that have been in the ministry for a number of years, you really don't need to be preaching to them your revelation. You know, they're so far out in front of you, it's like, all right, it's not something that you really want to do. So he said, I wasn't going to go up to Brother Hagin and tell him I saw something tonight because, you know, Brother Hagin's had 8 major appearances of Jesus in his life. So you're not going to really impress him too much. And so he said that, you know, he wanted to say something, but he didn't say something. He said, after a while, he said, Brother Hagin walked over him and nudged him and said, I saw those 2 clouds. Hallelujah. Well, that'll make you eat a little extra pepperoni on your pizza tonight. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. I mean, hey, praise God. I did see something. All right. Praise God. Because Brother Hagin saw the same thing. Well, it's prophesied here in Isaiah, isn't it? I said, it's prophesied here in Isaiah, isn't it? The gross darkness would cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord would come and rise upon you. Not the gross darkness, but the glory of the Lord. I said, not the gross darkness, but the glory of the Lord. Now, the Lord showed me this. This has been some time ago. He said, son, you need to keep your focus on the glory cloud, not on the dark cloud. You need to talk about the glory cloud and not the dark cloud. Are you with me now? Amen. See, I'm not saying we never confront things, but I'm just simply saying we can become too negative-minded, too mindful of what the devil's doing and not enough about what God's doing. And when we do, we lose our joy. We lose our power. Because the devil's not bigger than God. That cloud's not going to overpower the light. Amen. Hallelujah. And so there's clouds gathering, but, you know, you got to watch where you put your focus on. We don't deny the dark cloud. Obviously, you and I can see that things on the earth are getting worse and worse as far as morality and spirituality. But yet, at the same time, there's something happening to those that are God's people if they'll just put himself in position. And we're going to talk about how to do that today. Put himself in position. There's a cloud going to come on us, glory to God, that's full of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. That's full of His glory. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, when God shows up, man, he outdoes himself. Amen. But I want to just talk to you about some things this morning. Obviously, I'm not going to have time to go through everything, every scripture and all that, because I really want to finish this today. But I'm going to talk to you about five things we've got to do to put ourselves in position to be underneath this cloud. Or maybe we could say be in this cloud. Hallelujah. But I want you to go to Exodus 30. I want to look at another scripture, and then we're going to talk about these five things. Exodus chapter 30. We don't want to compromise. You know, Oral Roberts, when he was alive, he said, whatever you compromise to gain, you'll ultimately lose it. You'll ultimately lose it. So we don't want to compromise anything. Amen. Isaiah chapter 30, go with me to verse 31. If you have it, say, I got it. Verse 31, this is the Lord talking to Moses, and he said to him, and you shall speak unto the children of Israel and say, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth or maketh any like it, or whosoever shall put any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Now, that scripture is talking about the anointing oil that God used to anoint Aaron and his sons. And God said it's a special anointing oil. Now, having known in the New Testament, we're all kings and priests. All right? And he said it's a special anointing oil. And he said, you shall not put it upon flesh. You won't put it on flesh. Now, what he's talking about here, obviously it was put on Aaron and his sons, and they had flesh, right? But God considered that spiritual. So I'm just bringing this out to bring it over in our day and to think about this. God is not going to put his glory. Well, let me back up a little bit. Let me start over again. I see in the earth and the land today two types of churches. I see spirit churches. I see flesh churches. I see spirit churches. I see flesh churches. You say, what's the difference, Pastor? Well, a flesh church is concerned with what man wants. What man wants. A spirit church is concerned with what the Spirit wants. And sometimes they don't go together. How many know that? Now, what do you mean? Well, I don't want to sound like a criticism. I thank God for anybody that's reaching anybody. You understand? But there is a distinction. There are all kinds of churches. As a minister, I mean, I know about the church growth things, and I don't know them all. Of course, I don't really study along some of those lines. But I've been around long enough to hear some of the things, and. Churches now will send out surveys to see what people like. How long do you like the service? Some churches have given up. We don't receive tithes and offerings because it offends some people. We just put a box in the back. There are churches that were Word of Faith churches that now are telling guest ministers. Matter of fact, I've got a guest minister friend. He went to a Word of Faith church, and he was told this as he came. I'll just leave it as a Word of Faith church. It's not supposed to be a church like ours. He said, I was told when I got there that we don't have the Holy Ghost, any of the Holy Ghost stuff on Sunday morning. All right. We just kicked God out of the church. I said, well, it confuses people. No, people were already confused. If you'll explain it, it doesn't confuse people. What we had this morning was a tongue, an interpretation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then we had prophecy. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What is that, Pastor? Well, it's the Lord speaking to us. Glory to God. Confusion's gone. Now you may say, well, I don't want to hear the Lord speak to me. Well, that's your business. But you're confused, not us. Are you with me now? So he was told, don't move in the things of the Spirit because we don't want that. We're trying to reach the lost. Do you think you know more about reaching the lost than the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you something, friend. Before you insult God like that again, let me help you out. Come on, everybody smile. I mean, you know, listen, let me help you out just a little bit here. You weren't any lost than I was. I lived in a whole world of the drug world. That's where I lived at. That's what I lived for. I came into a church, they didn't know anything about being seeker friendly. They just knew about Holy Ghost friendly. And here's what I knew. They had something supernatural. Now, it scared, yes. I needed some Huggies, I'm telling you. I'm not going to lie about it. It scared me. But you know what? I needed scared. I needed to know. I finally found some people that really knew God. Amen. And that's what's frightening me. Hallelujah. And you know, I've told you before, I said it and I meant it. If I ever get out of here alive, I wasn't sure about that. If I ever get out of here alive, I'll never come back. But you know what? Something got inside of me. Power got in me. See what Paul say? He said they'll fall down on their face and worship God and say God's in you of a truth. We need this back in our church. See, you know, Brother Hagin tells a story about a guy. He said, I was preaching, and he said there was a guy sitting back in the back with cowboy boots on and jeans, the cowboy part, you know, and all that. And he said, you know, the word of the Lord came to me and said, the Lord told me to tell you, you're a sinner. He said, well, you got that right, preacher. He said, the Lord told me you got a back issue. Well, you got that right, preacher. He said, the Lord told me to tell you, if you come up here, you'll be healed. He marched right down there and got healed. How many know they kind of need stuff like that? That kind of lets them know that there's something in us besides just people. Amen. So the flesh church is the church that just whatever people want. And they'll send out surveys now and find out what they want. How long do you want the service? How long do you want the sermon? You know, do you want to take up an offering? What temperature would you like it in there? What do you want for your coffee? What kind of donuts you like? I mean, that may be good for the Elks Club, the Moose Clubs, and all the animal clubs, but that's not good for the church. The church should be a spiritual church and talk to the Holy Ghost and find out what you want today. You may want me to go up and slap Dustin upside the head and get him delivered, you know. I don't know, whatever, you know. I mean, every now and then he needs a little slapping upside the head. Jill takes care of that, but praise God. You know, how many know I'm just messing with him? But how many understand? See, the Holy Ghost might have something totally different. You know, he knows. How many know? He knows. So this anointing, this glory, it's not going to come on the flesh church. It's going to come on the spirit church. Now, listen to me. You may look out there, and this is just, I'm not upset with anybody. I'm just making a point, and it's you're going to see it's the truth. Yes, a lot of the flesh churches that they do what people want, they are filling up because they're entertaining flesh. But that's going to die out. I mean, when the glory comes in, that's not going to be very entertaining. Amen. Are you with me now? Glory to God. Now, all right, let's talk about this. Let's go to, I tell you what, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. First Samuel. So the cloud's coming in. Thank God for the cloud. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Let's go there. And I want to just share with you these five things. We only got just a little time here. I've got about 30 minutes or so to do this, that I'm going to take to do this. But we won't be able to look at all the scriptures, but we'll look at some of them. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now, five things that we've got to do as the church if we're going to see that glory cloud. And hear what I'm saying. I hope you understand. I'm not saying like we're not having glory now. All right? Now, I'm not saying like we're not seeing things now. We are. We're seeing people heal. We're seeing things happen. But this is something that's more than anything we've seen before that's coming in. I mean, I've seen things over my time serving God. I mean, just wow. I mean, just wow, just miracles and things. You know, I've seen growths just instantly disappear off people's bodies? I mean, you just, you know, I mean, when you, I mean, that's, you know, when people say I was healed of a headache, well, we believe them, but we didn't really see anything, right? But I mean, I've seen like growths, just like I'm thinking about a little girl at one service had a knot, like a little growth on her neck, like a tumor thing. Her parents were concerned. I think she's probably 3 years old, my guess, 2.5, 3 years old. And her parents brought her up for prayer, and immediately that knot disappeared, dissipated, was gone. Right? I'm not talking about before the service. I'm talking immediately it was gone. You looked in there, it was, bam, it's gone. Well, you know God did something right there. You know that the, that wasn't even a gradual thing. I've seen legs grow out, and I'm not talking about faking it, phony stuff. I've actually seen them shoot out. You know, different miracles and things, you know. We had a lady in Honduras. Now, once again, I didn't see this, but she claimed she got it. You know, she came to the healing service in Honduras. And, you know, when you come expecting God's ready to meet you. And she came, she had her x-rays with her. She gets in the prayer line, and she's got this big manila envelope. And, you know, I'm thinking, that's strange. What's that? And so, you know, I pray for her and all. And then she shows me the x-rays of the thing that's wrong in her stomach. It's like a mass or whatever, ulcerated thing, whatever. But anyway, God healed her. She totally got healed. You know, we had a guy right there that he was blind in one eye. I think this might have been the exact same service. He was blind in one eye. He, of course, I'm talking through an interpreter. And all of a sudden, this guy's getting excited. You know, when you see that, you think, well, something's happening here. So I'm like, look at the interpreter. What's going on with him? And he had a welding accident. Spark went in his eye, and it blinded him. And he got his sight back that morning. Well, he was thrilled. Amen. You know. And so, you know, things like that. But God's going to do some things that, I mean, he's going to do some unusual things. Amen. This cloud's clearing all kinds of things with it. It, you know, healings, deliverances, finances, glory, hallelujah, amen. Blessing. Amen. It's got all kinds of things in it. You know, it's not just, just one or two things. It's loaded with things. The glory of the Lord shall be seen on you. What does that mean? People will see it. They'll know it. And people will be drawn to it. The Bible said kings will come to it. Nations will come to it. All right, so let's talk about what do we have to do. Let's just talk about this and winding this series down. Number one, as a church, I'm talking about as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to recapture the Word. Look here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 22. 1 Samuel 4, 22, and she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken," or it's captured. Now the ark speaks of the Word. You know, in that ark was God's Word, the commandments. And so what happened here is the Israelites, they got complacent with God, and it ended up the Philistines stole the ark of God. Stole the ark. And so when the ark was stolen, this is one of Eli the priest, this is his daughter-in-law, she said the glory's departed, for the glory's left Israel because the ark's gone. Well, we as a church, we got to get back to the Word. Now maybe churches like ours and churches like some others, there's several in town, many that preach the Word of God. But you know what? The Word has been lost in the church of the living God. Amen. I mean, we've gotten into, and not all of this is necessarily wrong in proportion, but we've got into motivational speaking. Yeah. And there's a huge difference. Yeah. Now, one is kind of a dessert. And it may be based on some scripture, but we need something else besides that. We need the meat of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, I'm not against motivational speakers, but that's what they are. They're motivational speakers. There's one particular preacher, and I think, you know, I'm not criticizing him, but every message he preaches is about how wonderful you are. All right? Well, in Christ Jesus, that's true. Right? So I'm not having an issue with what he's saying. But what I'm saying is the body of Christ can't just live off of that. We need some repenting, some other truths, some meat of the word. You know what I'm saying? And all. And so I was listening to him on XM radio. Phyllis and I were traveling someplace, you know, and I had XM radio on. And after about 2 hours, she said, "Can we listen to somebody else?" Because she's like, "I've had enough of that." So I put Dr. Barclay in. That bounced it out real quick. You know, one guy's telling you're wonderful, and the other guy's saying you're a bunch of pus pukers and everything else. You know. Repent. All right. Which one's right? Well, both of them are. There's times you need both of that in your life. Are you with me now? Amen. How many know a balanced diet is what? It's a balanced diet. That means you don't eat what you want all the time. Are you with me? You eat things that maybe, you know, I mean, you got to have a variety here. You know what I'm saying? You can't just have Mexican. You got to have Chinese sometimes, brother. You got to balance it out. All right. Are you with me now? Amen. See, so what are we talking about? Well, see, the Word. See, the Word's what blesses our lives. Come on now. And I mean, the churches that are just having like 15-minute sermonettes, they're not growing spiritually. See, and the blessing can't come on them. Because, you know, this ark that got stolen here, it was stolen here in 1 Samuel. The ark was stolen in 1 Samuel. It's all the way to 2 Samuel chapter 6 before Israel gets it back. The Philistines keep it for several years. And they start getting plagued because of it, and they want to get rid of it, and they send it back. But as it's coming back, it ends up in a guy's house by the name of Obed-Edom. And that's found in 2 Samuel 6. And the Bible says, the Lord blessed all that he had because the ark of God. So it just, and David, when he saw that, he said, I got to go, well, the King James says, I got to go fetch the ark. I got to go get it. Why? Because the word will bring blessing in your life. Hallelujah. See, I just don't understand. Help me, somebody help me. When I got saved, I was hungry for God's word. And it brought blessing to my life. Amen. We got to pursue it. Amen. We got to pursue it. Now, I could teach for this probably the rest of the day, but we're running out of time here, so I want to go to number two. We've got to pray. Zechariah 10 says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Did you know a scriptural pray for signs and wonders? In the book of Acts, they did. They prayed. They said, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. We should be praying for the glory. We should be praying for signs and wonders. Amen. See, we have to be active in this if we're going to be underneath of it, right? All right. I think we ought to look at this, and let's go to Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. Near the end of the Old Testament, let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. So we've got to recapture, recapture the word. And that would be individually, you need to recapture the word in your life. Zechariah chapter 14. So you need to recapture the word. You need to stir up your hunger for the word of God. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? Well, listen, let me tell you something about this that I've learned over the years about being hungry for the word. You say, well, I'm not hungry for the word, and I'm just being honest with you. Well, okay, let me help you. All right, the way you do it is by making yourself feed on the word of God. What happens is when you do that, the Spirit of God starts getting involved and your hunger starts getting stirred up. You have to stir it up. Is there something, have you ever like, you know, at one time in your life you didn't like to eat something and you made yourself eat it? And eventually you like it. I eat things today that years ago I wouldn't touch. But, you know, you develop it, see? And the same thing's true spiritually. You develop hunger. You don't just pray for hunger. That's okay to do that, but you've got to develop hunger. See, the Bible says, Jesus gave us a little clue. He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So what you value, your heart will go to that. So if you start putting value on the Word and making it a priority in your life every day, your heart will start going to that. You'll start being hungry for it. You thought, well, how did I get hungry for the Word? Well, you put value on it, and it stirred something up. Does that make sense to you? See, you got to give yourself to it. I've you know, like certain things, like certain Well, you know, just certain things. I like to watch, a lot of people don't understand this, but I don't know. I like to watch NASCAR. Now, you know, years ago, I paid no attention to that. Now, I was a sports guy. I liked sports. I watched a lot of different sports. But that just did not appeal to me to sit there for 3 hours or four and watch cars go in a circle. Some of you, I can tell, it still doesn't. All right, let him that's ignorant be ignorant still. But it just didn't appeal to me. And then, one time, way back around 2000, right in that area, Jeremy came to me. He said, "Now, do you watch this chase still, NASCAR?" I said, "Nah, I don't watch that stuff." He said, "Well, I think you'd like it." I said, "Nah, I don't watch that stuff." He said, "Well, I'm going to record some of those for you, and you can check it out." Well, something happened. And now here we are, like 19 years later, and I watch it all the time. Why? Well, I had to stir something up. And that's a lame excuse. And that's lame, but how many are getting with? Follow me, all right? See, that's the way it is with the Word, the things of God. You got to stir it up. You got to start feeding it. Make yourself do it. I mean, you know, I remember the first time I started running. I hated it. I mean, I went so far, I didn't go any further than what my key fob would still work. I mean, that's bad when you're first running, you still open your car with your key fob. We're done. But, you know, you keep at it, something gets inside of you, and it just gets a hold of you. See, life's just that way. The Word's that way. Amen. So we need to recapture the Word. We need to pray. Number three, let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. Number three, we need to enter into worship. Now look at Zechariah chapter 14. Look at verse 17, Zechariah 14, 17. It says, "And it shall be that whosoever will not come of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Isn't that interesting? That if we don't worship, there's not going to be any rain in our life. Hello. But listen to what it says here. This is it, the next verse. "And if the family of Egypt go not up," and the King James says, "and come not," but the New King James, I like the way it says, and enter in. Everyone say enter in. Enter in. How many know you can be in a worship service and not enter in? If you don't enter in, they have no rain, there will be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the nations that come not up to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I'm just taking this out and pulling this out because I think that's very interesting that the Lord said, if you don't come and worship, you're not going to have any rain. Well, you know, rain also speaks of spiritual rain, the rain of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, if you don't enter in, you're not going to have any rain. So we have to enter in. We can't just stand there and look at the screen. We got to enter in if we want rain. I want rain. How about you? I enter in. Number four. Are you with me now? All right, we're winding this down. Number four, we've got to get the world out of us. Now, here's the thing. You read this in Numbers 14. God was able to get, no problem, God was able to get Israel out of Egypt. No problem. But he couldn't get Egypt out of them. They'd run into trouble and say, "Let's go back to Egypt." They still had that in them. And we as the church, we've got to get the world out of us. I hope you understand the way I'm saying this. See, Paul said in Galatians, he said, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Actually, I said that backwards. He said, the world is crucified to me. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, the world's dead. And I'm crucified to the world. As far as the world's concerned, I'm dead. Now, what was he saying? I don't want to have anything to do with the world, and the world doesn't want me around. Why? Because I live too much for Jesus Christ. The world doesn't, they don't want me around. So I'm crucified to it. It's crucified to me. We separated. Now, what does that mean, the world? Does that mean, you know, we don't shower, we don't use deodorant, we don't use cologne? It means the worldly things, the worldly ways, the things that are ungodly, the things that are against the Word of God, they have no pull on us any longer. Amen. See, one of the things in the Old Testament that would stop the rain from coming was sin. See, God told them, if you sin, there'll be no rain. So, and that would transfer over spiritually, that if we don't obey God, if we walk in sin, there'll be no rain in our life. Amen. All right, now, finally, all right, first, number five. Number five, we've got to respond to the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me give you a story. We won't take the time to read it, but let me give you the story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, you know, Samuel was brought to the temple at a really, real young age. I mean, he was there. I don't know what Eli thought about this, but you know, Samuel's mother Hannah was barren, and she told the Lord, if you give me a son, I'll lend him to you. I'll give him to you. Okay. So after she got him weaned, you know, so what age would that be? Weaned. Probably three, maybe, in that day. All right, 3 years old. She takes him to the temple and drops him off and gives him to Eli. Now, I would just be thinking, hey lady, I'm so glad, God bless you. Take your brat home. Okay. I got enough to deal with without taking care of a three-year-old. All right? But, you know, this was of God. It was of the Lord. And he began to work in the temple at 3 years of age, or somewhere around there. When he was weaned, so he was young, he began to work in the temple. He began to help Eli. He began to do things around the temple. And, of course, he turned into a great prophet. We know that. But there was a time in his life where he was in the temple, and he was in the sleeping quarters of it, and he was laying down, and the Lord called him. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, what do you want? And Eli said, lie down. I didn't call you. Well, he went back, and he lay down in his place again, the Bible said, and then he heard Samuel, Samuel. Well, he got up, went to Eli again, said, what do you want? And Eli said, lie down, you little brat. I didn't say anything. And so, I mean, I added that some of you that don't read the Bible, that's not in the Bible. But then the third time, the Lord, Samuel, Samuel. Well, he got up and he went in to Eli. He said, you did call me. What do you want? And Eli perceived it was the Lord. And he said to him, now listen to what he said. He said, if he says that again, you must say, here's what you must do. You must say, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Now, what was Eli saying? If the Lord's trying to get your attention, you must respond to him. If you don't respond, he's not going to speak to you. So he lay back down, and he heard that voice again, Samuel, Samuel, and he said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And God began to tell him some things that were going to happen in Israel. See, when the Spirit's moving, we have to respond. If we don't respond, that's as far as he can go. No glory. Amen. Amen. You have to respond. Amen. See, if you're, you know, if you meet the one for you, how you know, there's got to be some response back and forth, right? I mean, it carries over into marriage. The real response is supposed to wait till you get married. But you have to do some responding. I mean, you know, I mean, if they say, you know, I think I'm falling in love with you. Yeah, you're okay. I mean, that's probably as far as it's going. There has to be response. I mean, if you go home and you put your arm around your wife on the couch and pull her close to you, and she yawns, says, I'm tired. How many know, night's over? It wasn't the right response, right? There's got to be the right response. Come on, help me understand what I'm talking about. See, if God Just for instance, I've been in service before, and I haven't always responded like I should. I'm just telling off on myself. I was in a service one time, and the Lord said, dance. I thought, well, you know, people are liable to look at me. Well, so what? If the Lord said, do it. Now, how many know when you don't respond, you miss out on the glory? We have to respond, see? So, and it's amazing to me. Now, I've pastored for a long time, and before that I was in the ministry for a long time, but it's amazing to me, it's funny, that I've had people over the years that they've come and said, you know what the church needs? What this church needs is revival. And I look at them, and I'm thinking, you're the least revived person in the church. How about you get revived? And maybe it'll catch. See, I like what one minister I heard say years ago, a lady preacher, she said this, if everybody was like you, would we have revival? And I don't know how many times over the years I've had people come, this church just needs a revival. Yeah, it probably does. But so do you. Are you with me now? So let's just leave that to the ones that are revived to point that out. Or get revived. See, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about responding. Like, you know, when we're worshiping the Lord, you need to respond. There's no glory going to come if you don't respond. Well, I just don't feel anything. I'll tell you why I don't feel anything. You're not responding. The same reason you wouldn't feel anything in a marriage if you responded wrong. Right? I mean, you know, if there's going to be sparks flying in your marriage, you better respond right. Clean yourself up. Like Dr. Dufresne used to say, don't smell like a gorilla. Start working on some things. Get some response. Hallelujah. I was in a service. I'll never forget this. I've told this over and over again, but it's just the truth. And I can't remember what church I was at now. I don't even remember. But they were having themselves a hoedown. I mean, we were worshiping God, praising God. And there were people dancing. There were people shouting. There were people jumping. And I'm standing on the front row, and I'm preaching that night, and I'm thinking, I don't feel a thing. These people are all in the flesh. And I'll tell you, I no more said that than the Lord said, you're the one that's in the flesh. He said, if you'd jump in, maybe it'd get off on you. You know what I did? Woo! Hallelujah! You know what happened? It got off on me. What was happening? Well, here's what I was saying. I'm just being honest with you. I don't always, all the thoughts I think aren't always intelligent. I know you think they are, but they're not always. Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking, I wish I'd get this over with. I'm ready to preach. I got a good message tonight. I'm just telling the truth. That's what I was thinking. Pastor, I can't believe you think that dumb. Oh, I can tell you worse ones than that, but I'm not going to because you might quit coming. But that's what I was thinking. Now, I wish you people get this over with so I can preach. You're just in the flesh. Come on. And that's when the Lord got on to me. And I jumped in. I thought, well, praise God. Here I go. Ooh. And you know what? I felt the power of God. But I had to respond. See, why is it? Why did I sit there and think that everybody else is wrong but me? Did you ever think about how prideful that is? I heard my own pastor say, he says, one time this team was doing a song. He said, I didn't like the song. He said, I'm going to tell them don't do that song again. He said, I got to look around and everybody's worshiping and having a great time. He said, I think I'll keep my mouth shut. I thought that was pretty good honesty. That he could look around and see, well, hey, it's blessing other people. Just because it's not blessing me, maybe I need to jump in. Amen. How many know we need to move with the cloud? Let's close by this. Let's see. Think about this. When we're talking about responding to the Spirit, have you ever heard of the gift of the Spirit called working of miracles? Now, what is working of miracles? Well, think of the word working. That means you have to do something. Remember Jesus put mud in the guy's eyes? Well, that's the working of miracles. Well, why would you do that? Well, I don't know. God said do it. Why would God? Listen, I was talking about this one time about how in the Bible, Elisha the prophet's days, a guy was working with his axe. He borrowed an axe, and the head flew off the handle, and it went in the stream. It went in the river or the stream or whatever it was, and it sunk to the bottom. I mean, well, that's normal. What's going to happen, right? So it goes down to the bottom. And he says to the prophet, he says, that was borrowed. Oh, man. You know? And the prophet throws a stick in the water. And when he throws the stick in the water, the axe head swims. You say, well, axe head can't swim. Well, this one did. It came to the top. He reached down and got it and got it out of there. Now, what's a stick got to do with it? Nothing really, unless the Holy Ghost says throw a stick. You can throw sticks in the water. You can go down to the Ohio and throw sticks in the water, and then nothing coming up. It's like one lady said, I said, if you do that without the Holy Ghost, you know what you'd have? Before I could tell him, she said, sticky water. It's all you'd have. Water with a bunch of sticks in it. But when it's a working of miracles, come on. I've seen the Holy Ghost tell people, run, you'll be healed. What? And if you just think rationally, think, what's running got to do with healing? It has everything to do with it right now. Amen. Jesus spit and touched the guy's tongue. He made clay. Remember that? And we talked about that just a few minutes ago. He made clay, he spit and made clay, dirt, and put it in the guy's eye. What's that got to do with healing? It has nothing to do with healing unless the Lord says do it. It's called the working of miracles. But you have to respond. What if Jesus would have said, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard? Right? Where did he get this from? Put mud in the guy's eye. He got it from the Father, right? What if he'd have said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard? That guy wouldn't have got healed. What if Elisha would have said, well, sticks don't have anything to do with iron floating? He wouldn't have got the axe head back. They had to work the miracle. They had to do something. Amen. Did you get something out of this morning? We got to move with the cloud, guys. When the cloud's moving, we got to move. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said it this way. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Well, that tells us if earth doesn't move, then heaven's not moving. Earth's got to move first. We have to step in. Well, I'd like to see the power of God. We got to step into it. Well, I'd like to feel that. No, you got to step into it. You got to obey. Amen. Glory to God. Someone said to us one time, said, man, I just felt like dancing. Phyllis said, well, why didn't you? You might have broke the whole thing open for everybody. Right? Obey. Respond. Thank God. How many are going to survive the last days? Well, I am. How about you? You say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you what. Sounds pretty scary to me. No, it's not. Just stick with the Word. Stick with the Holy Ghost. Stay in the house of God. Stay around God's people. You'll be fine. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.